Alrighty, good morning again. Advance the slide there. All right. So, as I was trying to think of a topic for today, on Wednesday, Paul led the song Softly and Tenderly, and I thought about doing I've done songs before, do a sermon based out of a song. I'm not going to sing. we're just going to talk about the song. And when he led that song, I'm like, that's it. That's the one I want. So it was, I don't know. It's just the right song for the moment. So that's what we're going to do. I'll have the lyrics on the screen. You don't have to keep up with the songbook while we're doing it. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's very nice song. It's a classic. It's, you know, one that I've always appreciated. You know, I realized it really doesn't rhyme, except for the fact that it uses the same words over and over again for me, and that's the only thing that rhymes. So it's okay. You know, it doesn't have to rhyme to be a good song. So, yeah. So we'll go through and just look at some scriptures that relate to the words in the song. If you can't find scriptures that relate to the words in a song that we're singing in the church, we probably shouldn't be singing it. But this is good. This one has lots of verses that relate to the things in there. and usually these songs, when you look through a song and try to find verses, scriptures that match the words of the song, you find yourself learning a lot about scriptures that you didn't really think hardly a lot about. So that's what happened to me anyway. So, all right. So the first verse of the song, you may have this memorized, you may not, but it says, "Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me." and then the second half, "See on the portals." If you're like me, you think of portals as something on an old ship with a periscope or something, but I think it just means doors. So see on the portals, he's waiting and watching for you and for me. and so that is very much the theme of the song, is that Jesus is calling and asking you to either repent or to, either repent from, not being a Christian yet, or repent from having gone astray, or just the idea that, you know, we're going to go home to heaven one day. That is the call. And, so Matthew 11:28, you've probably heard these verses before. These are the words of Jesus, and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I'd say that's very softly and tenderly, is the way he's saying that, right? Is, he's calling us to come to his side of things. So you could have, of course, a heavier burden, that the world might put upon you. But he says his yoke and his burden is easy and light. I think it's kind of interesting though. Why is there a yoke at all? Right? If it's easier, why isn't there no work? But that's not fair, right? There's always work to be done. And you think even back to the Garden of Eden, right? We think about how the punishment was, that they would have a lot of difficulty in working the ground. But even before the punishment, Adam still had to work the ground. There was still work to be done. It just wasn't as hard. And so Jesus is almost making a reversal here, right? And he's saying, no more will it be a difficult burden. It'll be an easy burden. But there's still work. So there's still a burden of a sense, but it's a joyful one. and then Revelation 3:20, so jumping to the other end of the New Testament, this is where the portals idea, I think, comes in, and the illustration here on the screen. Revelation 3:20. Now, if you're like me, my Bible has these words in red, and I think it's fair to say that this is Jesus speaking. I think there are times he says, "I, Jesus, you know, send my angel to the churches. But anyway, here, Revelation 3:20, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." I meant to get my papers out as reference here. So I think that's what I think of with in the song. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching. Maybe a slightly different idea than what the author of the song had in mind, but I think that relates to this verse and Revelation that, you know, Jesus is knocking. He wants us to be a part of his world, right? But really, this is saying the opposite almost, right? Like, he's coming to us. So he's really desiring that. It's not just as cold as, "I'll be here waiting, you know, whenever you get here," but he's actually reaching out, right? So I think that's neat, because I don't think about that part of it as much personally. You know, we say, "Come to Jesus," and that's fair, but Jesus does kind of knock on the door too. So, all right. So verse 2 of the song, and it's the words of the song say, "Why should we tarry or wait or linger, you know, when Jesus is pleading for you and for me, why should we linger and heed not his mercies for you and for me?" So if you turn to 1 Timothy 1 and verses 15 and 16, I'm not going fast enough here. 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16. And this, I think, kind of gets to the idea of the mercy and patience here. So 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief," says the Apostle Paul saying this. Verse 16, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe unto him to life everlasting." So, you know, Paul, of course, had that deep appreciation of the mercy of Jesus that he could be forgiven. And you know, Paul is saying much the same as the song is saying, is, you know, if I could be forgiven, then anybody could. And so our song here is kind of saying the same thing, right? Is look at the mercy of Jesus, and, you know, what are you waiting for? Why are you lingering, you know, to be a part of that? You know, when there's so much there. And then Philippians 1, 21 to 24. Let's see. Philippians 1, 21 to 24. So in the song, you know, it's talking about why should we tarry or kind of drag our feet, right? And why should we linger? And so here's a verse that I thought of where Paul is torn about some things. So we'll read that. Philippians 1, 21 to 24, and it says, "For me to live is Christ," so living is good, "and to die is gain." So it's also good to die if you're in Christ. He says, "But if I live in the flesh," so I mean, if, in other words, if I keep on living on this earth, "this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two." That's good old King James English. So I'm, you know, torn between two things, having a desire to depart, meaning to, you know, to die and go to heaven, and to be with Christ, which is far better. no argument there. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh, meaning to stay here on earth, is more needful for you, the people he's writing to. Oh, and I guess I'll stop there. And I mean, it goes on, but that's kind of where I ended the reading. So, so Paul has that sort of, you know, torn between two things. Maybe a little different than what the song is getting at, that, you know, obviously if you're choosing between to be in the world or to come to Christ, then make the choice to come to Christ and you know, receive his mercy and those things. But, you know, you can see how in a more heavenly sense that it would be hard to leave this earth when you have so much that's connecting you to it. So we might linger in that way, but not lingering to stay in enjoying the television shows or the things of this world per se, but to be with fellow Christians and encourage them. So all right. So verse 3, this is a really sad verse of the song. And it says, "Time is now fleeting. The moments are passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering. Life's end is coming for you and for me." The version of this song I grew up with, by the way, that last part says, "Deathbeds are coming for you and for me." Now, that's really sad. So they lightened it up a little bit in some of the later versions of the song. But still, you know, the idea is just... you know, we're not going to be here forever. We're not getting any younger. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay, sorry. Drawing a blank. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 1 through 10. sorry, let me... catch up with my notes here. Excuse me. And this is kind of a similar idea of what we read a second ago, where you're kind of torn between these two worlds. And I'll go ahead and read it. So 2 Corinthians starting, chapter 5, starting verse 1. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle's our bodies... we're dissolved, we have a building of God, an eternal house, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." So we know we have that promise of heaven. "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. if so be, that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body," and I think he means our physical body, we are absent from the Lord. So, you know, obviously we still have the Lord around us, but we're not as close as we could be, you know, someday in heaven, right? Verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." Verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, that according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So, you know, and I'm kind of borrowing a little from some of the other verses of the song. But, you know, we do have that final judgment, you know, that we should think of, coming, you know, at the end of our lives, right? Or when Jesus comes back, if it's before then, but, specifically in the context of the song, you know, if we die on this earth, you know, we always have that, that knowledge and that, you know, I don't want to say hanging over your heads, but you don't want it hanging over your head, right? You want that confidence that, that you'll come home. And I'm kind of alluding to the chorus of the song, which says come home, quite a bit. Right. And so, you know, that is the appeal is, we don't feel at home, in this world. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Right. And we want to be at home with the Lord, you know, in heaven one day. But we need to make it right on earth, while we're here. All right. It's going to be a short lesson. We're kind of plowing through this. I know you're not going to complain. So verse 4 of the song, and the lyrics go, oh, for the wonderful love he has promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon for you and for me. And so pretty simple, but Titus 3 and verse 3, Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. And 3 through 6. Right, so kind of picking up on the idea that we have sinned, beginning verse 3 here. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. I should read verse 7 too. I don't know why I stopped there. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Excuse me. So again, just that, you know, that appeal that we did live in sin, and as I said a minute ago, we can't continue to live in sin and expect to be rewarded with eternal life. But we did, and you know, we look at the as it says in verse 4, the kindness and love of God our Savior. You know, the love that God had, that Jesus had to die for us, that we can be saved. Just the mercy, as we talked about, and you know, I like the word pardon there. I don't have an exact scriptural use of that word, but it's you know, it goes along the idea of the mercy of we had sinned and we deserved death and we deserved punishment, but he pardoned us in a sense, right? Again, I don't know if that's an exactly biblical term, but I think it fits with the idea of mercy, right? That, I feel it just feels a little more, like we can relate to a pardon, right? Of you were in jail and you get pardoned, you get freed, you know, and mercy, I mean, it is the right word, but you know, it just, you get so used to the religious word of mercy that, you know, maybe it starts to lose its meaning. So I like the word in the song pardon, you know, that being set free from those sins, that would have kept you out of eternal life. So, and then finally, at the end of the song, is that chorus. I didn't, write the words up there, but you know, it just says come home a lot. Ye who are weary, come home. You know, and that makes you think of the yoke is easy and his burden is light. You know, come to me, ye who are weary and heavy laden. So I think that's kind of related to the chorus there. I just didn't want to use the same verse twice. I just thought, how does the song go? Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, O sinner, come home. So a lot of the same of what we've talked about already, but I just like the idea of come home, and that's so I have several verses there. We read Isaiah 55 in our scripture reading. I'll probably just go over verse 1 as a highlight of that. Isaiah 55 and verse 1, like I said, King James here. This starts with the good old pirate sounding ho, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Paul did a good job of explaining the application of this, but I just, you know, I love that invitation, you know, come and drink and be a part of this. Matthew 25, and verse, what did I say, 31 to 34. Matthew 25, 31 to 34. it's really verse 34, but I'm going to read starting verse 31 for context. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. You kind of need that background to know what the right and the left are. So verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then it goes on and explains more than that. But again, I like that invitation. Come, you know, you who have done what's right, who are faithful servants, you know, and come inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's pretty cool. All right, John 6. Trying to do these in book order here. John 6, 35 to 37. excuse me. And this is really in the midst of a lot of context here. And so he's talking about this bread of life. And verse 35, he says, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So kind of picking up on the similar idea here of the Isaiah you know, coming to the living, in this case, living bread, right? So Isaiah was the living water, here's the bread of life, and it also mentions never thirst in verse 35. So you've got that invitation, and then another chapter over to John 7, verses 37 and 38. Here's that water analogy again. Jesus kind of picks it up here in the New Testament. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. and in verse 39, but this he spake of the Spirit, which is the explanation there. But again, all these blessings that come from coming to Jesus. And then lastly, Revelation 22:17, nearly the very, very end of the Bible here. So if your Bible is not like mine with endless appendixes at the end here, you could probably start at the back and start and not have to turn too far to get to it here. So Revelation 22:17. And it says, yeah, I guess that's interesting. They don't, my version doesn't put it in red. I'm not sure why. I feel like it would be, but anyway, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let us athirst come, and whoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Is that water of life kind of theme coming through all these? But just that invitation, even all the way to the end of the Bible, is come and be a part of this, right? what I think is kind of interesting is the very last words, starting verse 20, he which testify these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. So we should be saying the same. And I should read, since we're there at the end, verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So, but yeah, he's, I think it's kind of an interesting, way to end the scriptures, right? Is that we should be the ones, equally saying, we're ready to go home. come Lord Jesus, come back. And, and finish these things, which is hard to say, right? Because for those of you that remember Scott Maxwell, I mean, he did a 5-minute talk the one time and kind of touched on this, something that I've thought about too is, I'm the same way with the Apostle Paul. It's like, I don't know how much I'm eager to leave, at times. There is much work to be done. You'd miss your family. I know heaven will be better and that is the right attitude, but there's a lot that makes you want to stay. But this is the attitude we need is that we want Jesus to come back. Not just because we're tired of this world and all the craziness. Just wanted to be over with, but, I think to the positive goal of being with him one day. That's it. That's all I had. And just to extend that invitation that, then if you've wandered away, from God, from coming to church, from doing the right thing, like the prodigal son, the invitation is to come home and we should have that longing to go home, to heaven one day. and so if there's any that, have not obeyed the call of the gospel, that would be lost, if Jesus were to come back today, or if you were to die today, then we ask that you, obey that call. And, if you're ready, to commit your life to Christ and take up your cross daily. But if there's any that here that, just wish to come forward and ask for prayers of the saints, we can do that at this time. Also, either way, as we stand and sing the song of invitation.